What's up, Lemonheads? Welcome back to another episode of From the Yellow Chair. I'm Emily.
And I'm Crystal.
And this week, we are live again from the International Roundtable hosted by Service Nation here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
It's been fun.
Back from Texas here to Tennessee. Speaking of country. But we have a very special guest with us, and we are going to dive into some numbers and why knowing your numbers is so important. So we can't wait to get into it and sip some lemonade.
Let's do it.
All right. So like I said, we have a financial expert and business coach here on the episode with us. We have Kim Martin. Hi, Kim.
Hello.
She is a financial coach with Service Nation. So Kim, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and why you're doing this now.
Well, believe it or not, I love this side of the business. No one does. They hate numbers, but I get passionate.
Marketing people hate them.
Yes.
We have a love-hate relationship.
Exactly. You need to know them.
Yes.
But we like to spend it, too.
Yeah, there you go. So my whole life, I do have an accounting degree. I took it in high school, and I thought, oh, this is a love. And then I went to college and got an accounting degree. And then my whole life has always been on the financial side. I worked in the wholesale industry for heating and air and plumbing for 28 years. I was a CFO. And then led into one day, my husband said, hey, I want to open up my own heat and air company.
Oh.
I was like, yes, I guess I know what I'll be doing.
Yes.
Which, honestly, I worked for 30, you know, almost 30 years watching contractors fail. Fail every day because they can fix stuff, but they didn't know how to run a business and they didn't know their numbers.
Girl, listen, I that's 1,000%. Yesterday I was telling somebody, so many wonderful contractors are just really good people, fantastic technicians, and cannot operate a business to get themselves out of a paper bag.
No.
And they're overwhelmed. They're tenderhearted. They're overwhelmed. They are shy on price negotiations. They get ran over. And they're like clawing their way to success.
Yes.
And you want to just motivate them, like, just you can do it. But I resonate with that a lot because it's running a business is hard. I mean, we know it.
Very much.
We learn it every day of our life. I'm like, why did we do this? We should work for other people.
Yeah.
That could be stressed
exactly.
out. You know, but I know that that's an important piece.
Well, and I think that's why we were very successful in our business, because I knew how to set up the books, I knew how to keep track of the books, and my husband had all the other skill levels, operational, sales. But it's amazing, and it was almost humbling, until we joined a best practices group for our service industry, how to really analyze and use those numbers in a managerial way to grow your business. I was still keeping books more in a financial accountant tax purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And so even me with the education still had a lot to learn. And while we're here today again in this environment, that's what we're teaching these contractors. Your CPA, your tax accountant's probably doing everything correct by the books for your gap accounting, for your taxes. But what we want to teach them is to use those numbers in a managerial way to let the numbers tell a story. Where do I need to fix things? Where am I grow? Where do I need to grow? Where do I need to cut?
Well, to help you make decisions, and to know that going forward, not just from the accountant looking back, here's what you did. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'd say if you don't know how April ended till May, it's too late. You can't fix anything.
Mm-mm.
Well, I know you were in one of our breakouts yesterday when I said, you know, all of your decisions need to be data-based. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to get there. Not everything's trackable, but everything's measurable kind of conversation.
Right.
But a lot of times, even today, I say, well, tell me what your total revenue is. And they'll say, you know, $3 million. And I'll say, okay, what percentage of that? And then it's all this, well, it's about. And then you talk to a contractor, and I'll say, what's your total number? $3.25 million. And I'm like, okay, what percentage? 42% is HVAC. And you're like, okay, let's do it. You know?
Yeah.
And it motivates me because I'm like, good. Because really what marketing in general, advertising needs, is somebody on the operational side making sure that things are happening appropriately there.
Right.
Marketing and operations have to go hand in hand. And that comes from putting good information into your CRM.
Yes, certainly.
Because a lot of people just don't even know their numbers in general.
Mm-mm.
And then they're guessing. I'm like, this is a lot of money to be guessing with.
Right, right.
A lot of people's livelihoods to be guessing with.
Most certainly. And like the timing, like you said, is so important. I think we have some great systems now, like the dispatch and CRM systems. A lot of people study kind of those numbers, but that really doesn't help you on the whole pure profitability. You can't necessarily keep track of, it does good for technician skills and measurements and levels, but coming to the financial health, mm-hmm. and of your company and knowing when you have to have cash for this or cash for that, because, you know, we have cyclical yeah. type businesses, yeah. you have to study that in another type of level. Mm-hmm. And I also know that owners get overwhelmed and not understand that. And it yeah. is kind of a funny story, because years ago we were in a learning experience and someone was asking my husband, what numbers do you like? And he goes, I don't like any of them. And the whole class just went like this. And he's realizing, I don't have to know how to create the numbers, do the bookkeeping, do the accounting. I need you to do it properly and then fill to me the high level numbers right. that an owner needs to look at to make those decisions.
Yes.
So when you ask, example, how much percent are we going to spend on marketing? That's a high number. They need to know that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, especially when we really start talking real money, yeah. real hard cash money. And I was visiting and I said, you know, the hard part comes, I call them humps. I'm like, you got getting to $1 million yeah. is a struggle.
Yeah.
You get to a million, you're like, I've made it, right? And then you're like, well, crap, I got to do $1 million again, plus, you know, grow to three. So I think three is the next time yes. for people to get to. Then they can't, they got to work really hard to get over three. And they get to five. It's like four goes quick, they get to five.
Yeah.
And then they get to five and they're like, oh my God, how am I going to get to 10? Well, all of a sudden, that little 10% that you were spending that was $100,000 is now $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 right. a year in marketing. But so the
or
first
should
thing,
be.
Or
not
should be,
what you started
the first
off
thing,
with
yeah.
$1 million.
I mean, the first thing that's going to happen is you start pulling back the reins because you're like, wait.
That's a lot of cash.
Well, it's a lot of cash, but I did it. I grew at $100,000, right? And I think that it's because we get these ideas in our head like, this worked and I can keep it the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you keep it the same year over year, especially your marketing spend, you're going to do the same year right. over. You're right. never going to grow. So each year you have to be setting goals that are based on actual information.
Exactly.
I mean, I know that sounds corny, but you know contractors are like, I think I'll do 3.2 next year.
But
and you're like, sir,
how are you going to do it?
Sir, you did $400,000 this
right.
year. Okay.
So we take those numbers and drill them down, make a budget on what you want, and then say, how many people does it take me to make that much money?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then how many trucks do I need? And then I have that. Well, how many service calls do I need to make this? And how much can they make on each service call? I mean, so you take that big number and then you start drilling down. Now, this is the stuff people understand out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at a tech and say, you need to bring in, you know, $200,000 this year, and he looks at you like this, well, if you say, hey, I need to do four calls today at $400, I mean, we take that number and drill it down. Well, now they understand it. So you have to know all the numbers from beginning to end.
So yeah. What do you think? What do you think contractors should like? If so, I'm brand new, right?
Okay.
I was working at a company. They sold or whatever, and I decided I'm going to go open my own. I had some cash that I had saved up. I'm going to run my own service. Where do you think they need to start? Like, this is on Financial 101.
Financial 101 is, do not just get somebody to load your cash and checkbook and credit cards into a set of books. Actually, getting QuickBooks is very popular. It's awesome for small businesses. If you don't know how to do it, good accounting firms can help you set up a set of books and immediately start entering stuff like what your cash balance is, and then make sure that you reconcile your bank account each month. Enter all your bills into these systems. And the point of all this is that you get a true financial statement, which would be a profit and loss and balance sheet each month, to actually look at those numbers. Small companies just look at their checkbook.
Yeah.
Oh, I got $500 in my checkbook at the end of the month. Everybody's paid. Great.
Yeah.
We had a good month. That does not mean you have profits.
Right.
That just means I have cash right now.
Yeah.
And so I know people don't think they can afford a good bookkeeper. You either hire somebody like your accounting firm on a bookkeeping level, or you bring someone immediately in-house to start keeping track of
it. Well, and sometimes I think it's hard for people to quantify, like, I can't afford it, but like, we know, like, you can't afford to not have it. Like,
exactly.
How much more it is to try to go back and try to fix some of these things. Or we were talking a little bit before we started recording, it's like, garbage in, garbage out.
Absolutely.
So like, getting it set up correctly from the beginning so that you can have real, true and accurate numbers. Because if it's crap, it's going to produce out
part
crap.
Of it.
Yeah.
Just part of it. I have worked with a lot of companies that we start playing with their numbers and I'm thinking, man, these are not matching up, what's going on. And they're like, well, you know, we didn't really close out 22 yet, and the sales from 22 really aren't in here. And so start with day one. I mean, you have to just start out with day one to get
so
it done.
It's saying that we have a couple of contractors that also, okay, how do you do, so it's, what is it, April? So it's early April right now, but we're more than 3 or 4 days into the month, and I'll say, well, how'd you end last month? Well, we ain't closed yet. And I'm like, why? What is wrong? How are you not doing day-to-day work? And I know it's hard. I don't mean for us to sound like that financial side of business is as easy as not. But you do have to be intentional, mm-hmm. and we've talked about this. Everything in business is about being intentional, but when it comes to accounting, and Emily is much better at it than I am, because even with Lemon Seed, you know, my brother, we have a board meeting every month where we have to answer for our financials. Emily's a lot stronger at it than I am. I can answer why we did what we did, but if they're like, well, under line 7, and I'm like, oh God, where is above the line, below the line?
We got lots of funny terms.
And I'm like, there's 17 sheets here, you know? Yeah. And they're like, look in the one that says P&L. And I'm like, oh, P&L. I know what that is. So my point is, though, is like, I've tried to surround myself with people that can help keep me straight and give good guidance.
Yes.
Right. You know, and so Lemon Seed is not a $1 billion industry over here, right? So,
unfortunately.
You know, yeah. So I mean, she and I would probably be doing a lot of other things. But I think that one of the things that comes down to it is just finding that right, just like we.
Trustworthy.
Yes.
Person.
And we do this every day with vendors for marketing. It's just going to be I call it a vibe. Interview some. Hey, who do you use? Who do you use? Who do you use? Somebody local, somebody virtual.
Right.
And you're probably going to be like, man, I really hit it off with so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then ask for some references. Look at their packages. But I'm telling you, you don't have to suffer in silence trying to figure it out.
To fix it.
But then, like, find them, like, interview those people, get some references, and then let them do it. Don't be telling them how they need to do it or... You know, trust the expert. Let them do their thing. I think that's a control thing that a lot of people can't give up. We see it on the marketing side all the time. Yes. They hire us to tell us how to market for them and stuff. And I bet people do it probably from the financial aspect.
They'll say, I don't know anything about digital marketing. We'll say, no problem. We'll connect them with a digital vendor. And they're like, well, I don't like that PPC strategy. I'm like, sir, tell me what PPC
I don't think you should be doing
for.
That.
Yeah, no idea.
You have no idea. No. You know? Same thing here to Emily's point. Like, trustworthy, but also, like, follow their advice. Ray and Julie Orzechowski, they have a guy, and I wish I could think of his name. She's going to kill me if she's listening. But it's a guy. Let's say his name's John, and she's like, well, Mike. I think his name's Mike.
Okay.
She'll say, well, let me get with Mike. Let me ask Mike, because they were getting ready to rebrand and do a mascot, things that were a little bit more of a chunk of change. And she would like, I'm going to consult with my trusted advisor on how to do that.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so what other things do you think are important for contractors to know financially?
I think the most important thing is if you have those numbers, you also can help control your future. Like you said, it's like someone goes, oh, I'm going to be $5 million one day. Well, you have no idea unless you set a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way is, and people use the word budget, but honestly, I hate budget. I like the word forecasting. It's much better.
Okay.
A budget just seems like, you know, I can't go to the store.
Rigid.
I get a penny.
Yeah.
But forecasting is better. It's like I can... throw the, what can we do? You get to brainstorm in forecasting. Mm-hmm. And the best part about that then is you look and go, okay, well, that's not possible. Where do we start manipulating and playing with those numbers? So, yes, I can say I want to get $5 million next year. And then you put, we've got lots of awesome calculators that kind of drill stuff down to see, is that feasible? There's no way I can hire 5 more guys tomorrow to get to $5 million. You know, so those are tools that you know where you are today, but help you get in the future.
Yeah, forecasting is that's a more fun way to look at
it. Well, I think it's even a little bit more free.
I'm going to get there. Again, today, I know I've said this several times, so I was visiting with this guy, and he said, you know, I'm turning my commercial company into a residential company. I will be at $15 million in 5 years. And so I was like, great. So then I hear that a lot, so I'm like, so what do you want to do this year? And he's like, well, I got 5 years, so I need $3 million this year because I got to be at $15 million.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay, where were you this year? He goes, zero. But what money do you need? What do we need to get going? And I'm like, I don't really know what to do with you, sir.
Yeah.
You're way too prepared for the call. And when I say that, it's because mentally, he's already mapped out, forecasted for success, literally.
Right.
And so I'm like, I was very attracted to that. In a sense of, that motivates me, that probably motivates his team. Like, we're going to hit $3 million this year. And I'm like, do you know how many companies that I work with that are 20 years old and not at $3 million.
Right.
They were just over here piddling around.
Well, because they're letting the day, every day, control them. And like you said, in the timing, they're not looking at the, they might, maybe their accountant says it to them monthly. They take it and they put it in their drawer.
Yeah.
No, but because the next level of that is, let's sit down and look at them and let them tell them the story.
Yeah.
And so, you, like you said, make decisions, okay? If the first quarter, and sometimes our industry, the first quarter could be bad, cyclical, because it's still weather.
Yes.
But now I can learn. I want to tell you, we studied those numbers enough. We figured out what we call break even. That means everything brings in, at least everything's paid for, is zero at the bottom. And those bad months, my goal was that year.
We're aiming for zero.
Be zero.
Yeah.
And that's a success.
Yeah.
Because 1 year you work real hard and you're going, okay, it'll be fine. July and June are the good months, are going to make up for it. It didn't.
No, yes.
And it's way too late.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Timing and accurate is so important to study that, to make actions. What kind of call to actions are you going to put in advertising now? Mm-hmm. Because maybe we are falling a little bit behind.
Yes, we're behind on lead count. Or you look at it and operationally, there's a KPI that people aren't hitting. So we have plenty of call count. We can't book, or our average tickets, or we're doing so much maintenance that we're rolling trucks and not bringing home hard. Our maintenance ticket is $94, you know. And so there's that's what I mean. Like, marketing companies, a lot of times, and when I say marketing companies, I should clarify, especially digital companies, they take the gut punches when the marketing's not working.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, they are designed to work when people are searching. Well, guess what happened in February, March, and April?
Have to search.
Yeah. Not a soul was searching.
Yeah, the weather was.
Yeah, not a soul. Everybody was living their best life, and they were not having to search. They don't have this extra COVID money in their pockets. Mm-hmm. Things are a little bit tighter. We don't know what's going on. The market is just kind of, we're a little scary right now, and so now was a good time to hone in on those customer base people that you needed to really cultivate. But again, that all comes from people watching their numbers. I'm going to say this one more thing too. And it's going to step on somebody's toes. That's fine.
Uh-oh.
I also don't know, like, I have some contractors that I know, not necessarily their Lemon Sea clients, but they travel so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, friend, how do you know what is happening? When I travel for a job for Lemon Sea, I have 3 anxiety attacks and a whole bottle of medicine that I go through before I can get back. Because it's just like, you're like, okay, what's going on?
What's going on?
And I'm like, y'all just laying out on the beach. Ain't been able to make payroll in 2 months. Just laid on a beach. And I'm like, how does that happen? So we can't just, no pun intended here, stick our head in the sand.
No. But what they probably have is great processes in place and trustworthy level of people that are maybe doing that constantly, and they have good communications with them.
Yes, that should be their goal.
Yeah, and say, hey, I'm still making the higher end decisions. Send me those numbers, and maybe then they can make some phone calls. At least the world's changing a little bit more, that you can do that. But yes, I also think you do that too much, you don't have your pulse on the business.
Yes. Because that's kind of what I mean.
You're so far removed.
You're so far. And, you know, I
just seem the guys look worn out. The numbers might look good, but if your guys are coming in exhausted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and they're wondering. I mean, seeing that, or like even simple things like, what's going on with that technician?
Exactly.
What's going on with this CSR? Or your building, your facilities, your trucks. And so I just think that. Part of us thought, part of contractors thought, you know what, I'm going to open this business and I'm a free person. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm free as a bird. And over here, like, sir, you are more chained to anything than you've ever been.
24/7.
Than to this business. And so it's not for the faint, you know, faint at heart. And it's for me and my brother both, we have this entrepreneurial spirit of like, what else can we do and how can we do it? That's part of the fun. That's why you get up every day.
Right.
So a lot of people, especially those that are probably listening to this podcast, that's what it's about. And it's about watching team members flourish, grow careers,
happy,
and do
get
great
back
things.
To their own families, have a nice lifestyle.
Yes.
No, certainly.
So at the end of the day, if you had to give just one solid piece of advice, and you may have already given it, but maybe we can reiterate it. So people that are listening that are just like frustrated with understanding their financials and what to do now, what do you think is some decent
advice? Just reach out for help. If you don't if you do not understand them at all, there are different levels to get help. Go ahead and if you do have a great relationship with your tax accountant, look at them and go, okay, I want to meet with you they know numbers. They just don't know you want to look at them in a different way.
Correct.
So let's bring them in and let them understand your business a little bit more. I brought them into our actual business so they could see guys coming in and out. And then when we would talk about planning for the next vehicle, it's just like they had a visual to go with it. So you can create a, I would say, financial analysis communication with even your tax accountant if they're doing all the work. Help them come back and show you the numbers. Let them say, you're getting ready to run out of cash in July. What are we doing to prepare for it? So you can have those levels of help.
Well, and it's taking out that level of pride that, like, I'm too good for ask for help, or like, you know,
what if somebody knows that I'm not it?
Or what if someone knows that I'm not a $20 million company, or you know, asking for that help and stuff. So
I say, when you come to these shows, everybody rounds up by a couple million. I'm like, are you really at 5 million, or are we really talking more like 2.5? But no, again, I don't want contractors to be afraid of finances. And I know from the marketing side, like, we need to know the truth and nothing but the truth.
Right.
We need to know if you have good cash flow. That's another thing. People will call us and legitimately pay for a whole rebrand package, and 2 months later they have no cash. And I'm like, all you could have said to us is, I want to do this, I just can't do it right now. So now I'm over here feeling guilty, and I don't like making decisions for you. Like, I, and I'm over here trying to figure out, it's not even my responsibility at the end of the day. You called, asked for a product, we showed you the product, you took it, now you don't have any cash. And it wasn't like we were $100,000 for a rebrand. We're talking, like, for most contractors, petty cash in the grand scheme of things. And I'm like, sir, there's a major disconnect when you go from adding a bunch of products and adding a bunch of services to 2 months from then, pause everything, I have no cash.
I think we just need to know that we have to baby step into some of that stuff. I mean, and you get around successful people, you want to be
like a rebrand is more fun than digging into my numbers and stuff. And so, like, thinking, like, that's going to be what fixes it for me. That's, I'm going to get this
and there's
new
a lot
wrap
to follow
and
up with that.
Yeah, and then that's where you see it. Like, you, you still have to know the numbers. Yes, it's fun to do the great branding and the fun things and stuff, but, like, it has to be numbers based.
So what numbers do you look at every single month?
Well, me, on the accounting side, though, I drill down into everything.
So, okay, so as
so
an owner.
As an owner, I would, if I was an owner and I had a accountant or bookkeeper on staff, number one, I would make sure I had numbers accurately entered by a certain time period. And by the 7th of the month, maybe the latest, I want to be able to see a profit and loss statement and a balance sheet. But let's, just so I have them, okay, because some people don't even get them. And I'm going to look at, I really love charts. We've kind of, there's some people don't like numbers, let's get charts. Or trends. I would even love to see a January through, it's July. Let's look at January through July, or July through July, and look at a chart. Why is this going up and down? Or, you know, why do I have these expenses doing this and this and this? Oh, now we can drill down into that. So an owner can look more at pictures. Maybe they need to know cash flow. They need to understand that they, you know, have money in the bank and have money to be able to make payroll and whatever's coming up. But the pictures tell a lot. And here's our revenues. This is where we were last year versus this year, this month versus last month, year to date, last year versus this year. And put in some pictures of revenues, gross profit, and expenses on a separate line item. And then net profit. I would, those four things. And put them in a graph or a picture. And when something's not looking right, or where it's
start
supposed
dissecting.
To be against the budget, then go down.
Start dissecting.
So it's really not that hard. It'd be something that they could just review 10 minutes a month, really.
And then when you see a problem, reach out to the people that helped you build those. I mean, I just think we have to kind of, like, know our place, right? Or do what it takes to personally develop your financial skills. We talk about that at Lemon Seed all the time. What are you doing personally to further skills in areas that you struggle in? Podcasting, books, coaches.
Oh, so much information out there.
Oh, yeah.
Especially like where we are today. We have lots of, this association has lots of webinars throughout the quarter. If I don't have time to go off somewhere or pay for somebody, I've got 2 hours. I can listen to this and it'll at least give me the terms.
Yes.
I want to feel educated when I sit down and talk about a P&L. Okay, well, that's the same thing as an income statement and profit and loss and a P&L. Wow, well, that's confusing. It's the same statement and we just called it three different things.
Yes.
And that is our fault, but once you're around it enough, you'll understand that.
Yes. Well, that's my brother. I mean, all of a sudden, it's like I woke up one day and I was like, huh, what? You're using acronyms and EBITDAs. And I'm like, I understand him now, but at first I was like, and I was like a mad woman because I for sure wasn't going to ask my brother, what does that mean? So I was over there like,
Googling.
And then I'm like, did I hear him right? What is that? but then I was like, I have to understand. I must.
No.
I don't need to. I must understand
how he gets there.
But then, like, trying to do some self-research or self, then you can ask the articulated questions to get the educated responses to where you can understand it.
Because Emily and I talk about understanding how little bitty things affect that bottom line. Again, we're learning this in Lemon Seed. I'm like, what happened that month? You know, and I'm like, that happened. Yeah. You know, or we're traveling. We travel to a lot of these shows in 1 month that happens to be slower months for onboarding new clients. Right. And I'm like, whoa, what happened right there?
Yeah.
And so, again, it's
at least you saw that. You knew there was an event that caused that to happen, and you're in control of it because you knew. But if you don't look at it,
you're not in control.
At the end of the year, you're going, wow, that was really high. Why did we do that?
Well, and then, like, how do we prepare for next February?
Right.
Like, that's the regular trend of traveling.
Because now we're, she call it? Advanced planning. Like, we're accruing funds. We have all kinds of things going on that I think are fancy.
Yeah.
Well, Kim, thank you so much for being here. Since this is pretty much what you do for Service Nation, just so everyone understands, Service Nation is a wonderful best practice group. They're based in Texas, so they get cool points for that.
Yeehaw!
But understanding how they can impact your business, best practice groups are wonderful.
Takes you to a new level.
It does. And not even just for the information, for the networking and for the people that you become like family that are living the same life that you're living, walking very similar walks. And so, number one, I encourage you. But Service Nation is where you are. And so how can people reach out to you either for more information about Service Nation or if they are Service Nation about your coaching? How do they?
I think the best thing we'll do is specifically on the coaching stuff is go through like Jim Henshaw with Service Nation Alliance. And, you know, people can research Service Roundtable on the internet and then you can get all kinds of information. They've got people you can contact, but specifically the coaching and joining. And they also tell days that the success days. Remember, they go out to all different cities. So if you ever hear about a success day, attend. It's free and you can learn all about the association.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We hope you've enjoyed talking about stinky numbers. It's fine. But hey, I do say this. The most successful contractors have control of their finances.
That's right.
In some form or fashion, but they have control. And so thank you guys for listening to another episode of From the Yellow Chair. We were so excited to be here
with Kim on the last day
of International Roundtable Day after we've partied down here on Broadway in old Nashville. And so if you enjoyed our episode today, we'd love to have a review. Go follow us on social media channels. Again, Lemon Seed Marketing is a full-service marketing company that really helps you understand your strategy and your brand and how you can win the market every single day. So thank you for listening to another episode and sipping lemonade with us.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.